voluntarily subservient to the desires of the devotee. The Arjuna is saying, Senayorubhyor Madhye Ratam Sthapya Maitrita. My dear infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta, please draw the chariot between the armies. And Krishna is obeying. Yes, sir. He's independent and he's supreme, but he becomes Parthasarathi, the charioteer for the devotee, Arjuna. Yayatamam prapadyante, tam sthataya vipajam. So, Bhaktij Javana, without the permission, Prabhupada translates it, of his devotees, he was not going. When Krishna wanted to leave Hastinapur, Kunti Devi requested him, please stay. Yudhisthira Maharaj also requested, please stay. So Krishna stayed for some time, just to please his devotees. Then he said, even in Mathura, that Kubja requested, please come to my house. Yes, I'll come after some time. So just to reciprocate with his devotees, this is the nature of Krishna. He can come and go as he likes, swatantra. He's fully independent, but he becomes dependent or submissive to his devotees. The devotees were fearing the separation of the Lord. The Lord was not just their formal teacher, but this the emotional attachment of the devotees to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the spontaneous, intense attachment of pure devotees to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratapa Rudra Maharaj, Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, their desire to keep the Lord with them was very powerful, and therefore the Lord followed their desire and stayed for some time. But as we read in the summary, still he had his desire to go to Vrindavan, and later he went. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for your talk, Mark. I was just wondering, you mentioned toasted.
Toasted, yes.
That's sort of an ISKCONism.
I think it's a little broader than ISKCON, but it's what they call, well, there's different, bad word, really. It's a fashionable term.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering, do you see it as a problem, sort of the ISKCONism, our own language that we have in terms of devotees communicating and preaching to the outside world?
Well, do I see our insider language as problematic? Toasted doesn't bother me much. Again, I suspect that it's actually imported into ISKCON from the outside world. I don't think it's specific to ISKCON, although one would have to do a proper study. But there's lots of language which is very particular to ISKCON. The editors of things meant for public consumption outside of Prabhupada's books think about these things. Something like greeting the deities, for example, at 8 o'clock or 7:30 or whatever the time, we greet the deities. What does that mean? Greeting the deities. Hi, deities. There's even things like humble obeisances. What are obeisances? It's a rather particular term. then there's lots more. Even things like sun planet. Who calls the sun planet outside of ISKCON devotees or people who speak Indian English, because you get you know, a lot of things like you know, sab phal, you know, apple fruit. But here, who would, could I have an apple fruit? Nobody would say that. Just give me an apple. So those things are there. But then there's terms like Supreme Personality of Godhead, servitude, which in the usual outside world is something undesirable. It's, you know, it's like involuntary servitude. There's lots and lots of such terms. So, and of course, there's leftover 1960s drug slang that somehow persists in ISKCON too. And it, but fortunately, it persists, or fortunately or unfortunately, it also persists somewhat in the outside world. So we're not unique on that. But it's rather, it's not the most high-class language. Things like spaced out and so on. Yeah, a lot of slangy terms. They're problems only when, number one, they're kind of low class, or number two, when they're not really comprehensible, when they're strange to people outside the circle. And everybody has language like that. Police have their own insider language. Scientists have their own insider language. Everybody has insider language. So one just needs to be thinking about whether other people understand what you're saying. Yes. Preaching, there's another example, preaching, which in ISKCON is like the highest thing in the world is preaching. But in the outside world, outside of evangelical Christian circles, preach often has, most often I'd say, has a sort of negative connotation to it. Don't preach to me. Preachy, when preach becomes an adjective, is it something nice, preachy? It, again, it has a negative connotation. So one might think of alternative terms. Preachers and so on. Preachers are usually thought of as sort of Bible-thumping fundamentalists, at least my crowd, before I came, would have thought of them that way. Yes.
Yes, you brought up the point that every group has its language.
Yeah.
Family.
Academics.
Every little clique, you know, has their language. It's natural language. It's not that language as we experience it is essentialized. I mean, the English language, it was unidentifiable 600-700 years ago.
Mm.
You know, it's moving.
Mm.
So I think your point, it's a question of just being in tune to the language your audience responds to.
Yeah. For insiders, nothing wrong with greeting the deities. We all understand what it means. But for outsiders, again, you might want to think about some other term or some, or explain the term that you're going to use.
Yeah, I know you probably want to get on to other topics of Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I can't help myself. Classic, I think the classic is, instead of saying sex, Prabhupada would always say sex life, almost always. So that would be an example where it would be a little strange for people.
Yeah.
They say that too, sex life, but in a limited...
Sex life has its usage,
yeah,
as a term. But for example, you wouldn't say that the sage had sex life with his wife at an improper time. You just say sex, because that's what you mean. Specifically, the act of sex. But Prabhupada would say sex life. And the editors would cross out the life. But they did it before Prabhupada disappeared, so it was okay. Yes.
It reminded me of the remembrance of, think it was Brahmananda, when they saying about a devotee blooped, and Prabhupada says, what is this blooped? And he was saying, well, you just gave the class, I think it was 263, that when one contemplates the object of the senses, then his memory is lost, and he once again falls into the material pool. He says, so that noise of something falling into the water goes bloop. And he says, oh, so he has blooped. So that was the introduction of it.
Yes. Yes.
I had heard recently, well, a while ago, that, oh, so this guy, Russell Brand, he's a comedian and actor. Oh, he's been associating with devotees. And I said, right, like someone famous comes to one Sunday feast and like devotees are like, oh, they're a devotee. I saw him on TV a couple months later and he used the word infinitesimal. And I said, oh yeah, he's definitely been associated with devotees.
Right. I'm going to go on and talk about some other topics if it's all right. Otherwise, we can get into dictionary kata. It's fun, but anyway, I'll say a few more things, and then if we'd like, we can go back to the dictionary and stuff. Lexicography. Today is the appearance day of Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya was a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and we especially remember his prayers to the Goswamis, Sat Goswami Astakam. And he was a very vigorous preacher, teacher, spreader of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Today is also the appearance day of Parameshwari Thakur, who is also known as Parameshwar Das, who was one of the intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. There's a little information about him in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the appearance day of Radharaman, of the Radharamana deity, who was the deity that appeared by the desire of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Shalagram, and he was thinking that the other Goswamis, they're worshipping Madan Mohan Govindadev, and I'm worshipping Shalagrams. If I could worship the form of the Lord. And Radharamana Dev appeared from the Shalagram. And the Goswami Maharaj established the temple of Radharamana in Vrindavan, which Srila Prabhupada had us look to as for the standard of Archana. Gopal Bhatta was South Indian Brahmin, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made him the authority on such matters, Smriti Acharya. So, yes, that, and the Goswamis at Radharamana, we've had a relationship with for a long time. Then today is also the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhavendra Puri is said to be, or known to be, the person from whom we trace ecstatic love for Krishna. In the Sampradaya previously, it appears that the worship was more formal. Not that the worship was more formal, but that these signs of ecstatic love for Krishna were not as fully manifested as when Madhavendra Puri came. And he expressed them in a verse at the time of his disappearance, which we can hear from Pushkar Prabhu, because I don't remember it. You know that verse? Ayidina, that verse?
Let's see if I can scrape it out of my head.
I deen it da do not the hair. Of course, you can get it up there on the screen. Better than me. I deen it da do not the hair matur not kadavalok shase. Lava. Diet akin karom yaham. Brahmyati kin karom yaham. That's the last line.
Hmm.
But, Keshavar, where's he gone? Where you go?
Okay. I couldn't, O Lord of Mathura, O Dinanath, the Lord of the fallen souls, I couldn't see you. He was lamenting at the time of death. With ecstatic love for Krishna. At that time, there was one foolish disciple who had the audacity to instruct his Guru Maharaj that, why are you lamenting? Krishna's present everywhere. Sarvata, Panipadam, Tat, Sarvata, he's between every atom and every atom, he's everywhere. More or less impersonal view. So, Madhavendra Puri was disgusted. That, you rascal, you just get out of here. If I die seeing your face, I'll never go back to Godhead. So he, by displeasing his spiritual master, he gradually became an offender to the Vaishnavas and even to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the other hand, Ishvara Puri served Madhavendra Puri very faithfully and became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We hear about the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri in connection with the Gopal deity who appeared in Vrindavan, or in a dream to Madhavendra Puri. They hid me in the bushes under the ground out of fear of the Muslims, but it's intolerable down here. Please excavate me. And Madhavendra Puri did that. And then the deity said, but I'm hot. If you could please get some sandalwood pulp and camphor from Puri. And Madhavendra Puri went to do that, but that was far. If you think about Vrindavan to Puri even now, it's like, you know, it's like, what, a few hours by plane. But through the jungles back then and dacoits, and you're bringing sandalwood, which is expensive stuff. But Madhavendra Puri, who for himself wouldn't even beg for food, that was his vow, that just whatever comes, that's all right. And if nothing comes, that's all right. But for the service of Gopala, he went all the way to Puri to get a sandalwood pulp. But along the way back, the deity told him that, which deity did he give that sandalwood pulp to? Gopinath. Shri Chor Gopinath. That you don't have to take it all the way. Smear it on me here, and I'll be satisfied over there. And so that was done. And famously, the Lord stole some kshir for his devotee, Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri, fearing that he would become famous and people would start honoring him, left. Right away, left Rindavan.
It was too late.
Hmm?
It was too late.
He became famous anyway, but at least he became famous in absentia.
I think I remember reading that he first left not to escape fame, but his first impetus was he felt he had committed a great offense by even thinking about tasting. Mm. That famous Kali with that famous sweet rice. Actually, he just wanted to prepare it for his own deity, but he was so contrite and so humble that he felt it was a great offense, and he just left and And then his fame started catching up.
Yes.
And of course the Bujari came and said, "You're the most fortunate person in the world. The deity has stolen sweet rice for you. Take this sweet rice." And then he would eat just like part of the clay pot also.
Still the temple is there, the Kshira is there. And the Pujaris are very friendly. Special place, Nemuna. Orissa. Anything else? We're supposed to stop at 8:45, is that the drill?
Yes, please, so we can go home.
The police are waiting to swoop down on us for going over time. Okay. All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'll go to the lexicography.